Hello and welcome to another podcast from the Naval Historical Society of Australia. This is one of the many talks in the archives of the Society recorded over nearly two decades from 1973 until 1980, and now available for you through the Society's website. Today we're listening to Bob Irvine, probably recorded in the early 1970s, and talking about the proposed Old Sydney Town project. Duration is 20 minutes.
Mr. President and ladies and gentlemen, may I first welcome you to the offices of Old Sydney Town. It's the first meeting that we've had like this here, our very first. And if there are things that are not quite comfortable or not quite right, you'll have to excuse us because we're still practicing, you know. We hope it won't be the last, but it is the first. And we've had to move a few things around and adjust and just organised to cater for a meeting. It's our first time. So having welcomed you, I want to tell you a little bit about our project. We think that Old Sydney Town is an imaginative and interesting and exciting sort of thing because, as far as we know, it hasn't happened before. And we think there might even be opportunities for the Naval Historical Society to help us if they'd like. Now let me first of all start from the beginning and tell you a little bit about Old Sydney Town. Old Sydney Town is an attempt to recreate on a beautiful site at Somersby near Gosford the settlement of Sydney as it was about 1810. This is before Governor Macquarie came to Australia, before that period of settlement began that resulted in the increased migration and spread of Australia, before the Blue Mountains were crossed, before Melbourne was discovered, before Adelaide was settled, before Brisbane, you know, the period when the only settlements in the whole colony were Sydney, Norfolk Island and Van Diemen's Land. It's the Sydney of Governor Bligh, the Australia, in fact, of Governor Bligh. Now to do this, what's been necessary is first of all to discover a place where it might all take place. And this is an air view of the spot, a miraculous discovery, a lovely valley in which it's been possible to recreate the head of Sydney Cove with the Tank Stream flowing from south to north and a dam making 11 acres of water, taking on almost the exact outline of Sydney Cove as it was in Governor Bligh's time. Over on this side is the domain and the botanical gardens and Bennelong Point. Over on this side is the rocks area, Dawes Point, Church Hill and elements like that. A lot of them are recognisable. You can compare today with what happened in the early days. For instance, here's, and you'll pardon me for being slightly amused about this, but here's George Street. Look at it. A rough bush track that runs alongside the harbour and alongside the Tank Street. In those days it was known as High Street up here and Sergeant Major's Row down there. And we're going to make it just like it was in those days. And the Tank Stream was crossed in 1803 by the bridge, which they called the New Bridge. It replaced an old log structure and gave the name New Bridge Street to that street. And so there are the two key streets of early Sydney. New Bridge Street, of course it's Bridge Street today, and Sergeant Major's Row and High Street, which today is George Street. It was Macquarie, of course, who named it George Street. These are the two hubs, the two criss-cross intersection streets of Sydney as it was in Bligh's time. We're going to recreate this on a lovely site, a beautiful valley near Gosford, which is so nice, so enclosed, so beautifully organised, all more or less by accident, I might say, so beautifully done that when you're inside, you can't see even the faintest trace of the 20th century. You can go into another world. You're almost in the time of Governor Bligh. And from outside, you can't see in. You've got to come by a secret path almost up the side of the development, right round the outside, and park your car way up at the top end of the site and go through a visitor orientation centre, through a tunnel in a mound, and when you come out there, the whole settlement bursts upon you and you're suddenly in 1810. It'll be miraculous, we hope. It's one of those marvellous bits of accident which we've built on, we've tried to develop, and we're hoping that we'll recreate at the end of this year Sydney Cove as it was. To give you an idea of the scale of the thing, here is the first large brig that was built in Sydney. It's Perseverance. Here she is over here, launched in 1807, having been built by Robert Campbell, and launched at Campbell Cove, or what is now Campbell Cove. Here is a recreation of the elevational drawings done by Mr. Usher, who you'll meet later, of Perseverance, as she was. She was, how long? About 100 feet long, 130 tons displacement, and there she is there. Of course, that isn't Perseverance. It's an early 20th century explosives lighter, which we bought, and we're now in a process of adapting, because it was nearly, almost exactly, the same size as Perseverance, the same length, the same beam, the same displacement, almost exactly. And under Mr. Usher's guidance, we're recreating this. We've got full-time shipwrights employed, and that will eventually develop as the Perseverance. This photograph was taken on the day that Perseverance was launched, and she's now floating in the cove, and the shipwrights are working on her. Since then, we've had another boat, or another ship rather, that's been launched, and she will be recreated as HMS Lady Nelson. And Lady Nelson will be well known to many of you, because I understand that she's claimed by a lot of people as being the first sign that there might be an Australian Navy. She was the ship in which a lot of extensive discovery and exploration took place, a ship that was very important in the discovery and exploration of Van Diemen's Land, is important in the story of Flinders, Matthew Flinders, and one way and another, again almost as though by accident as far as we're concerned, a lovely reminder of the past of old Sydney. Well, we've got her there. She's another lighter of almost the exact dimensions of Lady Nelson. She's floating now and will soon be recreated as this ship. Around the cove, and you've got to bear in mind that Sydney in those days was a maritime centre, around this maritime cove we'll recreate the buildings of Sydney as they were in 1810. And these will be, of course, the Governor's Mansion situated over here, and the officials' houses, the Surveyor's House, the Commissary's House, the Chaplain's House, and so on. The big stores, the official commissary stores and the dry stores that were responsible for controlling the coming and going of the colony. All of that will be on the old east side of the colony, of the tank stream, which was the divider. And over on the west side, all of the other activities that were associated with the naval and military and civilian and convict doings of the colony. So we'll have the convicts that had been emancipated and were making good, Simeon Lord, Isaac Nichols, people like this. Mary Riley, for instance, the first established convict woman to make good in the colony. These sorts of buildings, their houses, their warehouses, their shops, the grog stores, where rum was the centre of activity, you know, where rum was the currency of the colony. The church. It's interesting that the rum stores were just down the road from the church, and here we've got these two conflicting activities. Church Hill we've got. We've already established Church Hill. Away up here, there's Church Hill, and St. Philip's Church will be up there, just down the road a bit on this block, the rum stores. All the emancipist convicts' houses, all the free settlers' houses, even a farmhouse of the type that was established on the Church Hill area, or the York Street Ridge area as it became, about 1810. So that one way or another we're going to have representative activities of all the things that were going on in old Sydney town around about the time of Governor Bligh. But the hub and the centre of the activity will quite naturally be the cove.
if it were not for the link between Australia and England that was provided by ships, then there wouldn't have been any settlement of Sydney. If it were not for the ships that provided contact with Norfolk Island, and even with Parramatta, the riverboats that went up the river to Parramatta, and the ships that went down to Van Diemen's Land, there wouldn't have been any Sydney. At one stage, as you might well know, it was proposed that the capital of New South Wales would be Parramatta. Did you know that? At one stage, it was proposed that the capital would be Parramatta and Sydney would merely be the port. This was because that's where they were growing their goods, growing their food, growing their staple product. So we're going to simulate the trade and movement and activity that existed between Sydney and up the river. We're going to try and simulate the connection with Old England through Perseverance. We're going to simulate the connection with discovery and exploration and trade in HMS Lady Nelson. All of these things, we hope, will be a living and viable, full-scale activity that we think will be a rather marvellous tourist attraction. Obviously, people will enjoy doing it, but it'll be more than that. It'll be a recreation of Australia's heritage. Every building, everything, will be an active thing. It's not a museum. Every part of the settlement will have things going on that simulate the activities of the early colony. We'll be building the blacksmith's forge that had six forges, the blacksmith's shop that had six forges in it. And they'll be making the hinges and the locks and the bolts and the doors, the oven doors and all sorts of ironmongery of the time, as well, of course, as all the hooks and eyes and pulleys and wheels and so on associated with maritime industry, the candlesticks and candle holders, the pots and pans and all of that sort of thing. The blacksmith shops will be actual going concerns. They'll be doing things that are associated with the early colony. And any visitors that want to buy these things can buy them, but they'll be going on just the same. We'll have a candle maker and a butcher and a baker, of course, and we'll have a seamstress, and we'll have the carpenters and joiners, and we'll have the panel beaters, or the tinsmiths as they were called, the tinkers, the travelling itinerant repairmen. We'll have the muffin men, the pancake makers. We'll have every trade, every activity that you can imagine in old Sydney town, all going on in this kind of development. All at full size, all, you know, a recreation of Sydney as it was in those days. And maybe best of all will be the fact that people will be able to get out onto the boats that are launched, that are moored out here, through Hospital Wharf, which is situated in this or there, in that area, and the Governor's Wharf, situated in that area. They'll be able to be connected by small boat, by small craft, to the big ships that are moored in this area, and they'll be able to take part in, imagine themselves as belonging to the maritime activities of early Sydney. Now, why I'm telling you all this, of course, is that although we reckon we know a good deal about these aspects of early Sydney, we're far from being experts. We need help. We not only need help, Mr. President, we need encouragement and support. We need somebody to tell us that we're on the right track or on the wrong track. We've made various guesses. Let me give you an example. We've discovered that Ozzie Brett, who will be well known to many of you, has done extensive research into the Brig Perseverance. He's done these drawings, this painting, this lovely painting, of which that's a black and white reproduction of Perseverance. We've obtained for ourselves all the documentation that's obtainable about Campbell's, about Robert Campbell's activities associated with this ship. And on the original 20th century lighter hulk that we've obtained, we've asked Mr. Usher to arrange the recreation of this. And he's done this according to the investigation that he himself has done and built on what Oswald Brett has done in paintings like this one. Now, we need reassurance that we're on the right track. We need some sort of statement about accessories. We need support and encouragement. We even need contacts where we can go to obtain bits and pieces like the rigging, the pulley blocks, the dead eye, you know, all the other miscellanea of the whole ship system.
even the lifeboats and the Davits and the, you know, everything that you can. I'm not an expert in these things, but almost every part of a recreation like this, we need to have support on. We need to have encouragement. We need to have expertise brought to bear to indicate that we're doing the right thing. We want to have this recreation of Perseverance so right that anybody that goes on board, anybody that goes down tween decks, will think they're actually back in Robert Campbell's time. Maybe it's too hard to achieve. Maybe it's an ideal that's just too difficult. But we want to try and get there. We want to have people on board and going down below, circulating up, and we even want people to climb up the mast if they wish. Is that the right term? I shouldn't say things like that. We want people to go up there, go along, and imagine that they're part of the system, part of the whole bit in Governor Bligh's Sydney, and we want it to be right. And so we're asking far and wide for all the advice that we can get, so that everything we do is authentic. We want it all to be spot on. We've done this extensively with the buildings. We've done it extensively with costume. We've done it extensively with vehicles. You know, we've already got a collection of some 70 historic vehicles up on the site. Horse-drawn vehicles of the period. Some of them the most beautiful vehicles you'll ever see. And we're doing our level best to make them just right, the way they were in Governor Phillips' time, and Governor Hunter's time, and Governor King's time, and Governor Bligh's time. We need all the expertise we can get. The reason why I'm telling you this is, of course, that you are people interested in maritime activity at the time. We want to show you the little bit that we have on display about old Sydney Town. We want to get some support from you. We particularly want to have your interest in it and feel that we've got your moral backing for this, because our aim is to have it just right. We've done this with the architecture, we've done this with all the other things that I've mentioned to you, or we're in the process of doing it. The building operations are well underway. We want to have it so that it's a genuine recreation. We want people to enter the scheme, to depart from the 20th century altogether. They'll go into another world, they'll feel they're in 1810. It's a dramatic thing. It's never happened before, to the best of our knowledge, in Australia. It's never happened before. We want people here to be able to enter a world of the past and see something of our heritage. I'm sorry to have laboured so long, Mr. Chairman. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you're looking for more information about Australian naval history, then you should use our website. You'll find more podcasts, articles from our quarterly in-house magazine, Naval Historical Review, and a range of e-books, monographs, and ships' plans for sale in our online shop. If you have any questions or research inquiries about Australian naval history, then feel free to contact us. Use the link on the website homepage. The Society is a not-for-profit organisation which relies on your continuing support. Please use our website links to become a member, or donate now, or sign up as a volunteer, or subscribe to our newsletters. See you next time.